Moving on, I'm delighted to welcome to the studio now the political editor of the Belfast Newsletter, Sam McBride, also author, as many of you will know, of the best-selling book on the Cash for Ash scandal, Burn, which is, I understand, freely available still in all good bookshops.
I certainly hope so. The last I heard it was, yes.
When is that report finally coming out, by the way?
Almost exactly a month today, the 13th of March. That will be a moment of truth, really, for the Stormont institutions, for Arlene Foster personally, and for the Northern Ireland Civil Service, for all of the individuals who are involved in that scandal.
Can I ask you just to sit in a little bit closer to the mic there, Sam, just to make sure people can all hear you properly? Actually, it was interesting, wasn't it, in the closing days of the campaign, when the controversy over Conor Murphy and the whole issue in relation to his remarks about Paul Quinn and Breeds Quinn's demand for an apology and his resignation, that Arlene Foster was almost... diplomatic would be the wrong word, but certainly accepting, seemed to be accepting of his words. How did you read that?
I think it actually is fair to say that she was quite diplomatic about it. There were some cynical unionists, some of her rivals, like Jim Allister, for instance, who were describing her her actions in that regard as almost a down payment for what she expects to be Sinn Féin's response to the Cash for Ash inquiry report, which may well put pressure on her. I think, though, it is clear that Sinn Féin has made a calculation in Northern Ireland. They are prepared to govern with Arlene Foster. They don't know precisely what's in the inquiry report, but Arlene Foster has received a letter from the inquiry privately telling her what the main criticisms of her will be. You would expect that Sinn Féin would have had sight of that, or at least have a sense of what's in that. They have made their decision. They're happy. However, the big unknown in this is that they never wanted to topple Stormont. They fought to save Stormont in 2017. The DUP have slightly rewritten the history of this, and they were forced out by their supporters. I think that because of what has happened in the South now, that's probably less likely now, because there is a narrative now that they are on the march, and the judgment of the party leadership is trusted more than perhaps it was a few weeks ago. But up until then, they were potentially under quite a lot of pressure.
The phrase, I keep remembering that moment. It was one of the Ard Eisiúna when there was a row about, you know, the future direction. And Martin McGuinness gave a very famous speech, didn't he, about himself and Gerry Adams, that if the party stuck with them, they would lead them to the new republic. To many Sinn Féin eyes, Michelle O'Neill in the north, and if Mary Lou MacDonald were in power in the south, where there was Taoiseach or Tánaiste, how much would that look like the new republic to Sinn Féin?
It's a form of new republic. I mean, clearly the border still exists and there's no immediate prospect of that changing. And the argument at the moment is obviously about simply getting a border poll, not even about how that would be won. Mm-hmm. So even getting the border poll is it going to be a difficult obstacle to a clear for them. But I think that there is a clear sense here that after 2.5 or so years where Sinn Féin were down in the polls in the south, down in elections, north and south, which is quite an interesting phenomenon for different reasons, I think, in some ways, suddenly they have roared back in a matter of weeks. And I think it exposes to a certain extent a complacency within unionism, which has been there for years, but has reasserted itself over the last couple of years, that there is no prospect of Irish unity. There's no prospect of Sinn Féin getting into government in the south. They are losing votes north and south. And actually, suddenly when that reverses, there's not much that unionism seems to have in the locker at this point in terms of a response to this. Very restrained from Arlene Foster, very much trying to downplay this, but what else does she do?
Yes, and again, the optics, and again, if an administration is formed in which Sinn Féin is playing a part, the optics in the month ahead of, you know, Arlene Foster with Michelle O'Neill going in to meet Mary Lou MacDonald and Boris Johnson. I mean, you know, and again, you think back a year, the DUP keeping the Conservatives in power, Sinn Féin out in the cold. And, you know, however diplomatic the relations between Sinn Féin and the DUP might be at the moment, you can imagine a lot of unionists drawing a breath in at that.
It would be remarkable symbolism, wouldn't it? And so much of Irish history and politics is about those big symbolic moments. I think that the more strategic concern for the DUP in particular and for unionism in general is that Boris Johnson has clearly sold them out twice, let's say, relatively recently, and without too much thought about it. If he is suddenly dealing with either a Taoiseach or a Tánaiste, Mary Lou MacDonald, or with Sinn Féin having any influence in that government whatsoever in Dublin, and if there are certain demands that they have to get to the next stage of the Brexit process, to get the sort of deal that he might want, is he going to really die in a ditch, to use his old phrase, about unionist concerns in Northern Ireland? I think a lot of unionists would not in any way trust that he would do that.
We live in remarkable times, don't we?
We do, and I think if we look at next year, 2021, the history, the centenary of Irish partition, what a dream it would be for Sinn Féin to be in government on either side of the border. It's not the dream that they would have had 100 years ago, and I think we need to have some perspective on this. There were a lot of people who thought that Northern Ireland would never survive anything like this long. It has endured, but as things look at the moment, it's a lot shakier than it was 5 years ago.
Sam, as ever, a pleasure to talk to you, and look forward to talking to you, no doubt, around the 13th when that Cash for Ash report comes out. That's the political editor of the Belfast Newsletter, Sam McBride.